What if you could learn more about your health in under an hour? The Pronuvo Whole Body Scan gives you a comprehensive look at your health, screening for over 500 conditions, including many solid tumors as early as stage one. High-quality imaging, no radiation, no contrast. Book your scan today at Pronuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com. Gain clarity, confidence, and peace of mind with Pronuvo. Invest in your health today. Visit Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com. Daniel and Robosaur defy explanation if you're wanting more. All my fightings, government denies. J-Clone guides you through the lies. Flat Earth claims, they say there's no proof. But we know the truth, we're living proof. No life without government's hand. Manipulation across the land. They say we're free, but that's their lie. We see the truth with open eyes. Mel's hold up, a mystery unsolved. Tumor seals, government's involved. Change the world, speak the truth, expose the lies. That's our move. Off the grid, we raise our quail. Homeschool our kids, government's education failed. Collected rain, though it's illegal. Natural resources can't be controlled by the legal.
Cut my music. It's Wilbur back in the shack. Daniel's out today. But he'll be back soon. The government hasn't got him yet. But we're joined in the shack by a special guest. And our guest is the founder of Crowtown Squatchers. You can simply know him as The Crow.
That's right, baby. The Crow is here.
Welcome to the shack, Mr. Crow. We're glad to have you. Oops, I think it cut out. What'd you say?
Thanks for having me.
Oh, we are thrilled. I'm thrilled to have you in here. We've known each other for a few years now, I'd say at least. I remember, I think it was last year, or was it 2 years? No, 2 years ago at the old Hocking Hills Bigfoot Festival. I happened to be there. Wilbur was there. Definitely it was Wilbur that was there. And I had like really chafed or chapped nipples.
I remember that.
So you took me to your van.
And we hooked you up.
That's right. You gave me a couple Band-Aids I asked for, and I survived the day.
Exactly. It's always good to have that first aid kit on hand. You never know when you're going to need it for.
You never know. You got to always be prepared. But I was a little skeptical crawling into the back of that van. But you know what? This time it turned out good.
Yeah, it wasn't even a white van.
No. Yeah. Didn't even have the free candy sign on the side this time.
Your ice cream, anything like that.
I do think it is cutting out a little bit when the further away you are from your microphone. Just a heads up.
Okay.
There we go. That sounded a lot better. But okay, yep, we're here in the shack, and this is going to be a more relaxed episode. We've been diving into lately a lot of things concerning that list, you know, that's been going through the news a lot lately that I think's very important. In society, for people to know about that stuff, but sometimes you just need a break.
Absolutely. I thought you were talking about the list of Bigfoot sightings over in.
Oh gosh, I mean, there's that too. That's really hot right now.
I mean, it's like about an hour north of us is where all that's going on.
It's wild right now.
What's that?
It's wild right now. And the Bigfoot Society, Jeremiah over there is the one, seems to be the one, that's whose post I'm seeing everywhere, his post reporting it.
Yep. And there's some people that are, you know, telling everybody to be cautious. And
no, that's true, yeah. Oh, be cautious, but I don't know, you know, I don't know if it's anything for people to worry about. I mean, I don't know. I just, to me, there just hasn't been too many Bigfoot casualties in the past for us to really cause to raise concern about some people seeing something.
Oh, cautious about what they were believing.
Oh, gotcha.
I thought all the power went out, but it's just my one light in here likes to be a little flickery sometimes. So
probably just when you're talking about suspicious activity.
Yeah. Like a signal from my ancestors, or if it's a signal that there's a faulty wire.
Hmm. Well, it's like that light in your, the check engine light in your car. That just lights up to let you know that bulb's working.
Exactly.
So it's the same difference. Or it could be. I don't know. But you know what? We can talk about the Bigfoot sightings recently if you'd like to, because I do have my opinions on it. Because I don't know. I'm not sitting here saying that they're fake or not credible or anything, but what I think it could be just going on is normal activity. It's just finally getting reported for once, like in real time.
Yeah, that's kind of what I would hope it is, that there was, it just was kind of like a series of very fortunate events.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some people saw it and reported it quickly. But again, like I said, you know, some people are saying be cautious about what you believe. Is there any evidence? Has anybody got out there and researched it? So.
Right. Yeah. There was comments and stuff we were reading about, you know, you can't find, no one's found any tracks or nothing. There's no physical evidence beyond just the initial sightings. And then it makes you wonder, is it just people telling stories? Is it a psyop? Is it being put into the news and shared around for a reason? Because things tend to spread on the news like wildfire, only on purpose when they want things to spread like wildfire.
Absolutely. The thing I love about it, and I'm sure you guys get this a lot too, is how many people tag me on, Facebook posts, and I get sent reels and messenger. And God bless them. I love them all. It's people I went to high school with.
Yep.
People that I, you know, every now and then talk to me, my family members. I mean, I love them all because they're like the first thing they think of when they see a Bigfoot story. Is I want to tag John.
Yep.
I want to tag the crow in there.
Get the crow in there. That's right.
Crow in there and see what he can find out. See what he tells me.
So it just happened to me 5 minutes ago before we got on here. Someone tagged me on Facebook. It's your time to shine with that article. It's like, well, yeah, I knew all about this. Or I don't know, but it is funny. Yeah, it does happen every single time there's any Bigfoot related news. You better believe they're tagging me in it.
I mean, it's definitely a sign of love, man. It's awesome.
They're thinking about you.
They are.
Yeah, and that's never a bad thing. Well, at least I don't think it is. Yes, some chases it could be, but I don't want to think about that. But
well, we'll just continue the search and go on.
The switch continues, Captain Insano. That's a offshoot deep cut wrestling reference, kind of.
Absolutely.
Wrestling reference from a movie that doesn't, the wrestlers don't actually exist. That's pretty good.
Right.
It shows no Moisey.
How old are you, little buddy?
Well, wait. Is that from the movie?
Yeah.
Okay.
31 or something.
Yeah. Oh, he laughs at him on the phone.
Yeah.
Now I remember. Yeah. Oh, that's good stuff. So what you got there?
All right. So this is some incredible memorabilia. Let me see what I got in here. Because I think
so, printed. people at home know that the Crow collects a lot of, I guess, Bigfoot memorabilia from the past. And
yeah, Bigfoot memorabilia. And I, at one time, you know, we were talking about wrestling. So,
oh, yeah.
I used to have a huge collection of wrestling magazines from back in the 70s and 80s. And I gave them to my nephew a long time ago. But I kept a couple of things that were just that I could not part with.
Oh, I got to know.
Oh, here's a couple of, well, I don't want to, none of that's relevant, but this is actually, this is a ticket from back in the day when you bought real tickets from Ticketmaster or whoever. This is a WWF World Wrestling Federation back then. This is from 1987.
Ah,
Coma Dome. The I don't remember the undercards, but I do remember who was wrestling on the main
headline. Ticket.
Macho Man Randy Savage versus the Honky Tonk Man for the Intercontinental title.
Ooh.
And of course Honky Tonk Man got disqualified by smashing a guitar, but I think Macho Man got his revenge and chased him out of the ring, and his music played at the end, and it was awesome.
That's so cool. What a good memory.
So, yeah, my brother took me. We were out there. He was in the Air Force. So that was definitely a night to remember. Now, these next couple of things are from even older than that. So I'm going to start with, this is, if you remember, the very first huge pay-per-view was called Starrcade.
Yeah.
Starrcade 83, Flair for the Gold.
Wow.
Okay, so my dad, who never paid any, I never thought he paid any attention to what I was doing. He knew I liked wrestling, though. And I came down, he lived in West Virginia. Well, down there where they lived, they got Mid-Atlantic Championship Wrestling, so that was Crockett's. And they had TBS, so they had Georgia Championship Wrestling also. So on Saturday nights, when I would go visit my dad, from 5 to 6, you would have Mid-Atlantic, and then 6 to 8, Georgia Championship, which became World Championship Wrestling.
WCW.
3 hours. Yeah, WCW. 3 hours of pure NWA awesomeness. So I go down to visit my dad in the summertime. This would have been around Christmas time, because it was after Starrcade. Starrcade was usually in the
December, fall. Right?
So dad, I go in dad's room, and this is the official,
like flyer?
This is the magazine you would have got.
Oh, the program.
If you would have went into Starrcade 83, this is what you got.
Look at Flair's hair, and Harley Race just looks rough and tough.
Yeah.
That is awesome.
So he got this from a guy in the bar.
Wow.
The guy had it with him, and my dad was like, hey, my son really loves wrestling. How much would you take for that? And he bought it off of him.
Oh, that's awesome. And it looks in mint condition still.
I've kept it. Really good condition. I keep it in like plastic. So
that's a piece of history.
It is one of my most prized possessions by far. The funny thing is if you open it up in the middle,
Hulk Hogan.
It's Hulk Hogan. So, you know, he was one of the, and I can't remember that timeline. He wasn't in WWF yet. He was still in the AWA.
Yeah, I was going to say he couldn't have been if he's in there.
He was probably in Japan, actually, at this time when Starrcade was happening, because he got fed up with Vern Gagne having Bockwinkel retain the title all the time through disqualification. And he left and he went to Japan. And then he came back and went to WWF.
Yeah. And the rest is history.
Best is history. So the next thing, I actually bought this one. This was the NWA. They did a big show at the Meadowlands. So this would have been the year after that.
Okay.
Arcade. They invaded, basically they tried to invade New York. So, and you can see the Road Warriors on there.
They're wearing
the national title, the Georgia national title belts.
That's so cool. And, the, you know, this is back when, before it was all one big conglomerate of just WWE now. You know, you had your different regions and different titles and belts, different champions. It was nice.
The territory.
Yep.
And then the last one I'll show you, and then we can go on with whatever.
Yeah.
This is the Sports Illustrated with Hulk Hogan on it.
That's sweet.
You know, nowadays, if you see a wrestler anywhere, it's no big deal. You see him on TV, you see him on talk shows, you know, they're in movies and everything else.
Yep.
Then back in 1985, this is April 29th, 1985, that it was unheard of to see a wrestler on anything until Hulk Hogan, like, literally changed everything.
He broke the mold.
He did. And so when they put him on the cover of Sports Illustrated, it was like people were freaking out. They were mad. They were, you know, they were like, Sports Illustrated totally betraying real sports. Wrestling's not real. Blah, 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 blah.
It's a show, people. Don't you understand?
And that was, you know, and then everything exploded too. And it takes you, it reminds me of like Dr. D being on 2020 and slapping, slapping that guy in the head. And
Hulk Hogan choked that one guy, Richard. What was his name?
Yeah. Choked him out and dropped the floor.
Yeah, I busted his head open.
Yeah. Yeah, they. I was watching a thing about that not too long ago, like, and watched it again. And man, the guy that was doing the documentary was like, they really dodged a bullet right there because he could have killed him.
Yeah,
he dropped him like a sack of potatoes.
Oh yeah, dead weight. But I mean, well, I guess yeah, you can't just do that. But when you also, I guess there's a fine line because that's what wrestling is that right there.
Right.
It's a fine line between what's real, what's not, but it's a play you're putting on in front of everybody and you just kind of have to go with the flow and whatever happens, happens.
Exactly. And I gotta throw in a little bit of cautionary tale here. I mean, Belzer was probably 5'8" and weighed about 110 pounds soaking wet.
So me.
So to sit out there and to like talk to a man who's 6'6", weighs 320 pounds, and basically tell him that the way you make a living is fake. And I mean, he was bad talking.
Yeah. Asking for it.
I mean, it's like, would you do that to anybody that was that like that?
Right. Right. Just because you got a camera on you doesn't mean you're safe. At least back then.
And I think that was, I think they both, you know, it was kind of a message like, hey, you know, you guys can ask these questions.
Yeah.
Going, you better expect the answer. The answer you like.
Exactly. And what Hulk Hogan was just doing, what they call in the business wrestling, they were protecting the business. You know, they have to shield it from, you can't have your talent being the one saying it's fake or even engaging in that behavior. You can't do it because it breaks the illusion, it breaks the show. And I feel like it was a lot stronger that back then, like 80s, 90s, and maybe even the early 2000s. That illusion of it being, because like you said, when Hulk Hogan was on the cover of Sports Illustrated, it's like they were larger than life characters. Like they were, not that they weren't real people. They were these action figures. And so when you seen them in real life, it was like they're superheroes. And then nowadays, you know, it's like they're everyday people that wrestle in this job. It's not like that character like The Undertaker who rose from the dead and tried to burn his brother in a house fire. And then he came back from the dead. And then they battled out. And then they were friends again. And, you know, and then one buried the other one again alive. It's just not like that anymore.
No, and that, you know, they kind of broke kayfabe back, you know, what, 10 years ago, forever. And that really did. That it changed everything.
It's just not the same.
You don't have superhero characters anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Just have, you know, they're wrestlers. And
I don't like it.
As it's
Oh, what'd you say? It was breaking up.
I said it's kind of lost, you know, it's lost some of the magic that they had.
Yeah, I agree too. Like, and that's what it was. It was because I remember being a kid watching. I mean, I was invested. I was very, very invested and loved it. Like me and my brothers, we had all the WrestleManias on VHS tape, and we just pop. And that's how I learned about like the history of wrestling. Was, you know, tapes like that, and they would kind of describe the year that led up to WrestleMania, so you knew what was going on. And it's just so good. It was so good.
Yeah, absolutely. And then that's, you know, that's why that I love that Starcade program so much, because that was really, like I said, that was 1983, and that was the beginning of like the golden, they call it the golden era.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody, they usually point to Hogan winning the belt from the Sheik in the January of 84, but I would argue it started with Starcade, and it really started with Dusty Rhodes and Ric Flair both becoming more prominent in the NWA. So you could even argue it went back to like 82 even, because Harley Race was setting up Flair to become the next big guy. And Dusty Rhodes was basically the main booker for all of the NWA, mainly in Florida, but then he moved to Crockett in the Mid-Atlantic area. And then he really, so it was really, and you know that story, Dusty Rhodes was, if Hulk Hogan didn't come to WWF, McMahon wanted Dusty Rhodes. He was going to be the guy
that took
national. Like they were going, Hogan didn't come, they were going to push for Dusty Rhodes. So imagine how that would have went.
Just the common man.
Like superhero Hulk Hogan, we would have the everyday man, Dusty Rhodes.
Yeah, it would have been a different outlook.
Would have been totally different. But I mean, you know, still Dusty was pretty much a comic book character too.
Absolutely.
He was doing all that stuff way back in the day. If you watch some of those old, you know, he used to go around. I love watching those old matches of him wrestling Superstar Billy Graham. And, you know, he would go from Florida to WWF back then.
Worldwide Wrestling Federation.
So he was already kind of, you know, breaking down. He was like Andre. He would every now and then, that's how big of a draw he was.
Right.
He could territory, and they would be like, you know, they knew who he was.
Yeah, absolutely. Before the polka dots, even.
Oh, yeah. Long before polka dots.
I still, every now and then, I'll see on Facebook or Twitter or whatever that clip of him and, what is his name? The guy. One man gang, but before Akeem. Where he's doing the elbow, you know, the elbow thing to him. He just doesn't even hit him and he falls down. And it's just so good. Dusty Rhodes. You ever seen that clip of Dusty Rhodes playing basketball?
Oh, yeah.
Ain't that wild?
Draining threes, making layups.
Yeah.
I mean, he's an amazing athlete.
I know, he's just not, you know, it's surprising. He's built like a bowling ball. Yeah, he is. It was surprising. And I like that with wrestlers especially back in the day, you had all the different body types and sizes, and I mean, they were all extremely athletic, but you got like weird shaped guys, and now it's just, you know, they're all pretty much like the big buff guy, like 90% of it.
I watched a little clip of NXT this morning, that guy joining the faction, and I thought, these guys look like a bunch of drunk guys at the bar taking their shirts off after they won a dart game. So I was like, that's what they look like. They're not overly muscular.
All right. So maybe it's returning back to a little, the common, like different body types, I guess.
Well, they're about the same body size. You know, they're all about like 210, 220.
Okay.
But I mean, they're not like, they aren't super athletic looking. They're just kind of skinny, muscular dudes that, you know, I sort of look like that in my 20s. You wouldn't know by looking at me now, but
I'm still built the exact same I was when I was in high school. And I can't put on weight and I can't lose. I got nothing to lose, but I can't put it on either. It's a blessing and a curse. And believe me, I tried. But I'm pretty much built like Spike Dudley. And my brothers, I tossed me around like him too, growing up. I think I was probably about like 10 or 11 when ECW really hit its stride, like in the beginning. So my brother really liked hardcore wrestling. And that's when I found out steel chairs really do hurt.
Yeah. Yeah, they don't feel good.
Oh, no. Oh, no. I received one. It's not fun.
But no.
ECW was crazy, too. Now, that changed a lot of things in wrestling as well.
Definitely.
I don't know how much of that you watched.
I wasn't. When ECW was really, really hot was right about the time when I was busy doing some other things, like probably going to jail quite often. So as much as I would have normally.
Fair. You were living the hardcore lifestyle, too.
I was definitely living the hardcore life, a different hardcore life.
Oh, boy. Well, that's, so you missed out on some, it was a weird time. And that's when one of my favorite wrestlers, New Jack, where he like took off.
Yeah.
And yeah, he was a scary individual. I don't even know why I liked him as a kid. I just did. But now, looking back, I like him even more, but for different reasons.
Yeah, he's like a certified psychopath.
Well, he did like get his brain smashed in a match that was like bad, like really bad, and then that really just made it whatever he had 10 times worse. But yeah, he was if you crossed him, he it wasn't wrestling anymore. It was real life.
Yeah. Yeah, it was I don't know if I would have been able to, you know, we talked about kayfabe. I don't know if I'd have been able to, you know, keep up with that. Promo would have probably went something like, you come near me again.
Oh, man. I kind of have to agree with that. Oh, man. Wrestling, I don't know if, I guess I haven't watched it in a while. I've kind of been removed since. But I've heard it's coming back. It's getting better. I don't know if you still indulge as much. But I just can't find myself indulging as much anymore as I used to. Because it just doesn't feel, I don't know. I guess I just don't, I don't have the itch for it like I used to as a kid and as a young adult growing up.
What if you could learn more about your health in under an hour? The Pronuvo Whole Body Scan gives you a comprehensive look at your health, screening for over 500 conditions, including many solid tumors as early as stage one. High-quality imaging, no radiation, no contrast. Book your scan today at Pronuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com. Gain clarity, confidence, and peace of mind with Pronuvo. Invest in your health today. Visit Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
Yeah, I'm the same way. It doesn't have, and I'll, honestly, mine is the characters, and it kind of goes back to what we were talking about. They don't have the allure that they used to. I'll tell you, the last person I got really excited about was probably about a year and a half ago when they were pushing LA Knight. And I was like, well, who's this guy? I kind of like him, you know. He kind of stole a little bit of Stone Cold. He's a little bit of The Rock. You know, he's got great mic skills. And I'm like, all right, let's push. And then right when I thought, man, they need to push him and give him the championship. And then they start pushing Cody Rhodes. And it's like, so I guess I should preface Dusty. You know, we were talking about Dusty before. Dusty Rhodes was probably if you ask me who my favorite wrestler of all time is, I'll probably tell you Dusty Rhodes. I love Dusty Rhodes. He reminded me of my dad, for one thing, because my dad kind of looked alike. Bowling ball. So, but when they started pushing Cody, I was like, what? You know, not to mention the fact that, you know, Drew McIntyre was right there. And I'm thinking, if you want somebody to, like, exciting and a big guy that, you know, looks like he can kick the crap out of everybody, you know, that's your guy, you know. Braun Strowman, too, when he was still wrestling. I mean, I liked him. I think he had to retire pretty much. But I'm thinking you got Drew McIntyre, and then you got L.A. Knight, who's hot as all get out.
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden, you want to push Cody Rhodes. And then, no offense, again, to Cody Rhodes, but you're going to tell me that Cody Rhodes is going to go beat up Brock Lesnar? No.
You can't even convince.
Hey, not tomorrow, not in 100 years. Lesnar, ever.
Ain't happening.
It's not happening. Like Drew McIntyre, I believe he could, you know, they get into it, you know, and maybe Drew's got some special, you know, like Hogan used to do, you know, Hulk up and he's got this magical power.
Oh, yeah.
It doesn't matter how bad he's been beat up, you know.
Doesn't matter.
Maneuver you got, and he's still gonna Hulk out, hit you 3 times in the head.
Yep.
Clothesline you off the ropes, hit you with leg drop. Game over.
That's how it ends every match, and for 30 years.
And it never got.
That's the crazy part. It never got old.
It didn't.
You and got people excited every time you started hulking up.
And that's, you know, that's what went to the arena. I mean, the guy sold out arenas for 10, like you said, 10 years straight. And that's all we wanted to see. Go in the match. He beats him up a little bit. Then they, you know, do some dirty tricks. And, oh, my God, is he going to get beat this time? And all of a sudden, you know, the chants start. And, oh, good. Oh, good. He hulks up. Hits that leg drop and the roof blows off the place.
Yep. And you know, that's exactly what you said, exactly what we want to see. And
I'm going to pay $50 or whatever for a ticket to go to wrestling, which that one, by the way, the one I showed you before, I think those cost us like $20.
Insane.
That was expensive at the time.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't even know what that'd translate to now, but
it's hard to tell, but I bet they're a lot more than that.
Now you think? It's probably like $300.
That would probably be a fair assessment.
Yeah, like now, like, well, with the rate of inflation right now, it might be even more. Given another year, it'll be like $500.
Well, you remember what were the, because they were making a big stink about it at WrestleMania this year. Like the cheapest seats were $3,000 or something.
Oh my gosh. So like normal people can't see it anymore.
No one's going to be at WrestleMania. No regular, unless you were gonna blow $6,000 for you and your kid to go.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna say no to that.
Yeah, ain't worth it to me.
Yeah, I love you, son, but I'm not spending $6,000.
Nope, sorry. Now, if this was Starrcade 1983, pump the brakes. Maybe I'll go.
We are in.
We're in. You don't even have to think about it. Well, I'm buying it. That's the difference between that then and now, right there.
Yeah. Well, you were talking, you know, it was so cool back then because all the territories. And one of those magazines I have is The Wrestler. I didn't show you that one, but it was just a regular. There wasn't anything special about it. It was just a weird issue. I don't even know why I kept it. I thought I had the, I've got one. I know it's up there somewhere. The one where after WrestleMania 6, where it's Ultimate Warrior is holding up both belts. Pro Wrestling Illustrated. So, but those magazines in the back had all the rankings of each territory. So you could see who was, you knew who was the top 10 in Georgia or Mid-Southern or Mid-South. Mid-Southern was Memphis. So that was like Jerry Lawler.
Mm-hmm.
And was there for a while. Midnight Express came from there. Then, you had the AWA, the WWF, the Pacific Northwest was really hot back then. Stampede Wrestling, where the Hearts came from. Southwest Wrestling, which was basically in Texas. It got swallowed up by the WCW, World Class Championship Wrestling, where the Von Erichs and the Freebirds, their famous feud for years. So it was really cool in Florida, of course, Florida, Mid-Atlantic, and Georgia were the big three, and then Missouri also. So there was all these territories. They all had their champions. And so you knew who each top guy was. And so when they came to a new place, it was so awesome that you would finally get to see them, because like we would only have seen these guys on in the wrestling magazines.
Yeah.
Maybe every now and then you might see a clip on something, or you might pick up a VHS tape from somewhere. We used to have some real crappy, I mean, they weren't bootlegs, but they might as well have been like VHS tapes we'd get from the store. It'd be like Memphis Wrestling and stuff. And it was like somebody had a camcorder and they recorded their television set while I was playing the wrestling.
Yep.
And that was high quality back then.
Oh, yeah.
And you never got to see, I mean, that was the first time I got to see Macho Man. And it was like, this guy's insane. He's jumping over the announcer's tables and hitting Lawler with a freaking ring bell. And people are getting cars. And it was awesome.
Oh, yeah. Nah, and it was like they had a mystique about them, too. Because, We had these magazines. It was called World of Wrestling.
Yeah.
So we had my brother used to get those every, I forget when they come out, but we'd always get them. And so he has stacks of those somewhere, and those were awesome. And you'd see all these wrestlers from like developmental leagues and stuff too. I remember seeing John Cena in one before he was John Cena. It was just, his name was the Prototype. And it was like, who's this guy? Like, what? And then it turns out like 6-7 years later, this guy, John Cena, comes out and we're like, that's the guy from the magazine. But they don't see that stuff no more.
That's Ohio Championship Wrestling. That's another thing. Ohio is like a breeding ground for, that's where, this is like the minor league of wrestling. Is basically like Ohio, the state of Ohio.
It is. And it's odd that it's all like kind of here. Because there, we have that war wrestling up by us, like, I don't know, 15 minutes or maybe 25 minutes down the road from us is war wrestling. And they're huge up here, like Northwest Ohio.
Yeah, we got, there's a fella, and then you might have, I don't know if you've ever seen it on, sometimes when they have the wrestling announcements. So, like, we have Kids America here, and they'll have like Buckeye Championship Wrestling or something like that. But there's a young fellow that, and I've known his mom for a long time. His name is Austin Blaze. And I tell everybody he's my favorite wrestler now because I've known him since he was a little kid.
That's awesome.
He's a high flyer, man. He's nuts. He does some crazy things.
I love that stuff. I love, my favorite thing too was seeing the old like amateur wrestling videos when the guys that were, you know, like Mankind when he's jumping off his roof as a kid.
Yeah.
Like seeing them, the guys before they became the guys, that was always like my favorite thing too about wrestling. We always buy the tapes, the documentaries, and you get into and learn about these people. And it was, I don't know, it was just, I really, really loved it. I enjoyed it so much.
Yeah. And then that reminded me too, when you said that old, that wrestling, those wrestling magazines, I used to get one and I can't, it was a real, I mean, it was a low quality magazine. I can't remember what it was called, but it had, I remember, it had the Blade Runners in it, and it was like this new hot, and it was California wrestling. So, and it was right at the end, like California wrestling was it, back in the 50s and 60s. It was actually, it was pretty well known. It was pretty hot. And then in the 80s, it really died off because it was just getting, California was getting swallowed up. It was like the first place to go from WWF. Like they took it over.
Mm, okay.
Like that was one of the first places they took over. But one of the last new tag teams that came along before they died out was the Blade Runners, and who was Sting and the Ultimate Warrior.
Oh my gosh.
They had like, they looked like, I mean, they were Road Warrior ripoffs. They had some goofy face paint. They almost looked like Joker or like poker cards. They had some weird face paint like that. Mm. I can remember in the article because it stuck out to me that Hellwig, as they listed both their names, Steve, I can't remember Sting's last name, but Steve something. And then
Jim Hellwig, I know him.
Warrior. And they were like, Hellwig is one of the few people in the world right now with a certified 600-pound bench press. So, like I said, that was the 80s. So that was pretty, 600 pounds was a huge, I don't know what the record is. And 600 pounds was like a enormous milestone back then. So there was a few wrestlers. I think Hawk and Animal both actually had a certified 600.
Those guys were nuts.
Incredibly, it was ridiculous.
The Ultimate Warrior always, as a kid growing up, he just seemed like a, I just remember this growing up. He just seemed like a mysterious, like, force of nature. And we had, like, I only ever seen him on those WrestleMania tapes. It's the only time I ever got to see him. And then we had, like, little toys of him. So I had, like, little glimpses of here and there of this thing. And then when I finally got to see him, like, come out, like, just doing the full-on sprint, it was just like something, I don't know. It was just like, it got your blood pumping. I don't know what it was. And I still, like, this day would play like the, what was it? Like the soundtrack CDs you could get where it would play, you'd get all that wrestler's entry themes. Did you ever collect those or get those at all?
Yeah.
Oh, I love playing. Like, I'd be either doing something in my room and I'd play one of those. But when the Ultimate Warriors thing would come on, oh, you crank it up. We used to put it in our weight room when we lift for football in high school. The Ultimate Warrior theme was one of the best ones to lift to.
It was.
And I think we even did it as entry music to a basketball game once in high school.
That push that they did for him was incredible. That music. And I remember the first match when he came out. And because, you know, we knew him. You know, it's sad that they had him in the world. He was in World Class Championship Wrestling, and his name was the Dingo Warrior.
So bad.
And I think that was, I can't remember. They wanted to just call him the Warrior, but there was, I can't remember what the deal was. There was some kind of like, there was another guy going by the Warrior somewhere or something. And I'm thinking, you know, Fritz Von Erich normally had a pretty good understanding of the wrestling business. I think he, you know, that one was a missed opportunity. He should have just said, no, we're going to call you the Warrior, because Dingo Warrior is really stupid.
Yes.
But he, his everything that he was doing there was pretty much the same thing. He was very stiff. He'd just come out and beat up people. I mean, he didn't rush the ring or anything. He was always just standing there trying to look. And I think Gary Hart was his manager for a while, which actually probably would have been a better thing for him, is have somebody else do the talking for him. Kind of his undoing.
He wasn't the smoothest on the mic. Just put it that way.
Started talking. At first, it was kind of cool. You know, you're thinking he's going to keep talking like a wizard. But then he started sounding like he needed psychiatric help. And it was
Hulk Hogan. That's my favorite promo of his. It's just some Hulk Hogan. Like whispering it and then screaming and then whispering Hulk Hogan again. Yeah. So good.
And but yeah, I mean, when his, I remember that first match and he came out and that music was playing, and you know, he washed poor, it was probably Steve Lombardi or, you know, one of those, it was one of those, you know, guys that they beat up every week back then before they started actually putting good wrestling matches on every week.
Right. Just fighting the Brooklyn Brawler every week.
Probably, yeah, it was probably Brooklyn Brawler or that other guy that used to pat himself on the back all the time.
Yeah. And he's the only guy that's like never won a match ever. Brooklyn Brawler.
Nah, he actually won when he was, so he was Steve Lombardi.
Okay.
And he was getting beat all the time. And then he changed to the, they made a big deal about it. Like when he changed to the Brooklyn Brawler, like, and he won his first match, they made a big deal about it, cause he had a manager too. And I can't remember who the manager was, but it was a big, they made a big deal about it. And then I thought, oh man, are they going to start doing this with all these guys? Like Frank Williams,
turn them around
and make them like actually wins. Barry Horowitz. That was that guy's name.
Okay.
That patted himself on the back. He actually, Barry Horowitz, actually, when he wasn't in WWE or WWF getting beat up all the time, when he wrestled in other, some of the smaller territories, he was actually a winner. That's why he's, a lot of those guys that were, especially if you, so George South is the guy I'm thinking of. Got some really good documentary kind of things on YouTube. And he talks about the enhanced talent is what they call those guys in WWF.
Right.
Talks about how well they were treated by Vince McMahon in the WWF. Like they got paid good. They got perks. You know, they were like, they got to hang out with the boys and, you know, eat the free meals and all that stuff. They didn't get treated like they were dirt. They got treated like they were just, you know, one of the guys.
Yeah.
Everybody really liked that in the WWF because they didn't get treated like that everywhere else. Like Bill Watts was notorious for being horrible to, he was bad to his good wrestlers.
Yeah. Like,
so imagine how he treated the enhancement guys. You know, here's your $50. Get out of my office.
Right. Yeah.
You got to wrestle tomorrow night in Tucson, you know, my car's broke down. Well, you better start hitchhiking then, because I don't care. You better be there. You're fired.
Right. Yeah. It's tougher back then.
So Barry Horowitz, when he was wrestling elsewhere, he was usually, when he was in Florida, he was always in like the top 10 guys. He was always a bad guy, but. But some of those guys were good. SD Jones is one of the most famous guys that got beat up all the time. Special Delivery Jones.
The Jobbers.
Yep. And, but he was a, I mean, he was a tag team champion in when he wrestled in Puerto Rico.
That's so funny.
He was a face, and he was the man.
That's funny. Just, you know, switching and your whole personality, whole ego, whole persona, it can just flip 180 degrees, just switching different territories, I guess, wherever you're at. But that's, and it, you know, wrestling, I think, reflects a lot of real life. And I think, especially when it comes to like politics and government and things like that, I think a lot of the stuff we see and are told on TV is just, you can compare it directly, apples to apples, just like wrestling. Except we just accept that stuff as if it's real. Just like people who are a little bit too much into wrestling, you know what I mean? Those people that just actually, it's still real to me, damn it. You know what I mean? Those people. Which, yeah. I like. I think I'd probably like that guy. But some people do believe it is just, this is real. Like, this is the real, this stuff's really happening. These guys really hate each other. And which, yeah, I get it. Like, the wrestling moves are real, but the storylines are like, that's the fun part. That's the imagination part and the part that makes you keep coming back because you want to know what these guys are going to say or do. It feels real, but that's the point. But politics, I think, became that, unfortunately, to where I think everything we see and hear on TV is part of a show where it's not legitimate. It's not real, as in real life, like you and me are talking right now. This is real. It's life. We're talking. We're real people. But I think all of them are putting on a show like wrestlers do, at least 90 to 95% of them. And is it just to, is it because they're all actors? No, I don't think that. I don't think they're all actors playing a role. But I think they're, you know, money drives a lot of things and drives a lot of their motives. And I don't think they're being honest or forthright when they speak and share things on TV, and that goes all the way from the top all the way down to, I guess, our representatives we see on television. But I just compare it, apples, I just compare it straight to wrestling. They're putting on a show. They're doing the moves. They're still, things are still really happening, but what we see on TV isn't a reflection of actual reality.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, we talked about kayfabe before. You want to talk about who keeps kayfabe better than politicians?
Yeah, oh my gosh.
I am a left guy, and you are a right guy, and we hate each other, blah, 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 blah.
100%.
100%. I'll get you, you evil right guy. I'll get you, you evil left guy. You know, and then we're out afterwards, you know, hoping nobody catches us at the bar together. And because that's kayfabe, and everybody would find out, you know, two wings, one bird.
Yep. And then that's the American bird we need to give back.
That's right.
Where are we? There. What's that?
I said you hit the nail on the head there.
And you know, I used to fall for that same thing you just said. Like when I used to be invested. I still am invested in one way or another. Like, I still care about what's going on, and I care about my friends and family and community and whatnot. But I used to believe that stuff when you say, oh, you know, like, for example, like a guy on the left's in power, you know, they're in power at the time, they got majority or whatever. And then the guys on the right, well, you know, these bad things are happening because they're in power. So I'm going to fix it when I get in there. And they're like, yeah. And they say all the right things. Then it flips. So now they're in power. And they're like, well, we're cleaning up the stuff, but we got to clean up all the stuff from those guys before. And just trust me, we're going to get it done. And then like bad stuff happens again. And then it's like, well, we couldn't do that because of them, the guy on the other one. And then now the other one's, well, no, it's not. You're the one in power. Vote for us. Get us back in, and we'll fix what they're trying to undo because we had it on the right track before. Really, seriously, guys. And then every 4 years, we fought for it.
And I'm glad you found the truth in the matter.
It is. This is what wrestling is all about, is to prepare us to see the signs and the messages. So people like us can understand what's really going on in the world. They can see through the illusions. They see through the kayfabe because we're aware of it. We know how it works.
That's a perfect analogy.
I mean, it might be truthful. There might be, you know, they say there's a reason for everything, right? You know,
closer to the truth than the truth that they want us to believe. That's for sure.
Correct. Yep. And facts, we or our friends over at that Cribs of the Corn show taught us this, that a fact is actually a fact doesn't have to be truthful, but something only becomes a fact if a majority of people believe in it. So they're telling us a lot of facts, but I don't believe in facts anymore. I believe in truths.
That's very true. Those guys are pretty smart.
Sometimes. Sometimes. I think here, the things that the Daniel and Wilbur and the Crow uncover here in the shack, that's where the real, you know, fruits of the labor lie.
Right.
the truth of the onion becomes unpeeled. I don't know if that's an actual saying, but well, it works, you know? Because sometimes when you peel back the truth, it stings.
And it stinks.
And you know, it stinks.
Ogres are like onions.
Exactly. Well, the Crow, I would like you to please promote Crowtown Squatchers before we get going here, because we're almost right up to our hour mark.
All right, fantastic. I would love everybody to come out and see us, Crowtown Squatchers. Our next gig, if you will, and I'll throw in my tribute to Dust the Road, the American Dream, if you will. We'll be out. We're going to be in Euclid, Ohio on March the 28th, Saturday. That's a Saturday, at the Hen Mansion. It is a haunted mansion up right up on Lake Erie. They're having a mystic fair. I believe the hours are 11 to 5, and it's only $5 to get in, and they're going to have vendors and mystics and card readers, and I believe you can tour the haunted house. So it's a beautiful mansion too. You ought to look it up. It's called the Hen Mansion. It's in Euclid, Ohio. And then after that, of course, we'll be starting in May. Got the High Bigfoot Conference. We'll be there because that's in our backyard.
Mm-hmm.
Got to be there. And we're going to do a couple other neat new shows this year. We're going to be in Buckeye Lake for the Pirate Fest. You guys ought to come down for that. It's May 15th through 17th.
Ooh, that's my brother's birthday.
It's looking like it's going to be a really, really cool event. So we're looking forward to that one. Mm. So we got some old shows. You can look us up on crowtownsquatchers.com if you'd like to get some merch. We'd love to see y'all wearing some Crowtown Squatchers shirts or hoodies or get some toys or any good stuff like that.
Well, I'll put the link to I'll put that website linked in the description of this episode so people can find it and go buy some hoodies, t-shirts,
stuff, anything.
Stuff, anything Bigfoot related.
And if you want, like say, you can go on Crowtown Squatchers store on Facebook, and if you see anything on there, because we got pictures of our table and stuff, and not all that's on the website. So if you see anything, you shoot me a message, John. Hey, I'd like to get that, this, that, or the other. Let me know, and I, you know, we mail all over the place in U.S. and Canada.
Oh,
Canada,
international,
yeah. So we'll send it. I'll send it anywhere you want.
Careful with that now.
Right.
Thank you, the Crow, for joining the shack. Perhaps this could be a reoccurring thing. We'll bring you in the shack every now and then to discuss, well, whatever may be, whatever you just want to shake your fist at the clouds and scream at.
I got a long list. So I would love to come back and do that. Anytime you would like to have me back, I would definitely pop on here.
Well, good. Start compiling your list, and I'm ready for you. Do you got anything you want to say on the way out?
I just want to say thanks to, you know, the Shack for having me on tonight. I can't wait to get out there and see all our friends out on the road, because, you know, it's one of the best, probably the best thing that has occurred since we started doing this. We're coming up on 10 years. Next year will be 10 years of Crowtown Squatchers. And the best thing that that has happened to us is all the cool people and new friends that we've got to make. And I mean, the salt of the earth people that, I mean, do anything for you, bend over backwards, give you the literal Bigfoot shirt off their back. Maybe even help you out with some Band-Aids if you've got nips.
Couldn't have said it better myself.
The greatest people that you will ever want to meet.
I share the exact same sentiment, and I think we've been very fortunate coming into this community, and I guess just being part of that, like, we're just fortunate to come into the community, and this is what the community's like, and I feel like we can add to that as well, and so it's nice meeting like-minded people just like us across the whole the whole community. It's been I just feel very fortunate. It is the way it is.
Oh, definitely. I mean, it's that was an amazing. I often equate it. I've told people this before, that the only time I've ever met people like this was when I was in recovery, going to 12-step meetings. When I met people that would that go out of their way to help you, that really care about you, that are honest, and like you said, like-minded. And, you know, maybe it's because we're just all a little odd at some, or maybe it's because we're the normal ones and everybody else is odd. And I think that one might be closer to the truth.
You might be onto something there. We've all not swallowed the medicine, I guess you could say. We're not drinking the juice.
Yeah, I always like to quote Shakespeare, there are more things in heaven and earth, Horatio, and that makes the world a magical place for all.
I like it. I think that's a good way to end it. And with that being said, I'm Wilbur with the Crow, and we're saying goodbye to the Shack.